Westminster Confession, Chapter 11, Paragraph 6. The justification of believers under the Old Testament was, in all these respects, one and the same with the justification of believers under the New Testament. So here we look at Old Testament justification. How were sinners justified in the Old Testament? And whilst what we now know as dispensationalism had not been developed at the time of the Westminster Assembly, nor to my knowledge was the term in use, there were no doubt still sects that made a radical difference between the Old and New Testament as to how sinners were saved. And so this little paragraph is intended to establish the truth of the unity of God's way of salvation from the fall to the end of the world. And it's a useful opportunity for us to gather up some of the texts we have often referred to in preaching as showing the way of salvation in the Old Testament to be essentially the same as that in the New. So first of all, and we'll go beyond the proof text given here, regeneration was the same in the Old Testament. In John chapter 3 and verse 10, the Lord Jesus rebukes Nicodemus as an Old Testament scholar, as it were, for not having grasped that you must be born again. John 3 verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? And it's clear from that the Old Testament scriptures did teach the necessity of being born again. We've often referred to Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. So the Old Testament taught that man needed to be born again, that man was a sinner, that he was totally depraved, and that he needed the renewing of the Holy Ghost. That outward circumcision did not save, that there needed to be that circumcision of the heart, and the Word of God in the Old Testament is very clear on that. So that when the Apostle Paul in Romans is saying that he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, and that circumcision, not the outward, but of the heart, he wasn't teaching something new. He was simply bringing to the fore what the Old Testament itself did teach. Faith in Christ was the same in the Old Testament. John chapter 8 and verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Abraham trusted in the same Saviour in whom we must trust, the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw Christ's day, that is, he looked forward and saw that Christ would come. So the Old Testament believers trusted in a Saviour who was coming, and we trust in a Saviour who has come. And Christ was set forth in the Passover as the one who would come to redeem sinners. We see Christ set forth in the Lord's Supper and do take it in remembrance of him as the one who has already come. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24-26. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. So that whole chapter of Hebrews 11 is urging us to follow the faith of the Old Testament saints. And here it becomes explicit that Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. So that part makes explicit in the case of Moses what is implicit in the whole chapter, that we must follow in the same faith as those as the Old Testament worthies. Hebrews 13 verse 8, and this is one of the proof texts given, Hebrews 13 verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. It's talking about the faith of those who have gone before, and that faith was in Jesus Christ. There's only been the one Saviour. Thirdly, one gospel. One gospel. Galatians 3 and verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So there, what was the promise given to Abraham in the book of Genesis is described as the gospel. And Abraham believed the gospel that was preached to him. And Hebrews chapter 4 verse 2, to which we so often refer, but it's such a crucial verse. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So it was the gospel that was preached to them. It did not profit them because it was not mixed with faith. The same thing is true for us. They were the Old Testament visible church, but that church was mixed, and there were unbelievers in that church. It's that gospel that must continue to be preached within the church, as well as outside of it, to this day and to the end of the world. But it's the same gospel. And interestingly, in Hebrews 3 and 4, Psalm 95 is brought to bear. So the gospel was preached in the wilderness in the days of Moses. David, in his day, in Psalm 95, warns his generation of the church against not believing that gospel. And the apostle in Hebrews warns the church in the New Testament in terms of that same gospel. And so he says in Hebrews 2, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? We who are within the visible church. But one gospel. So regeneration was the same, faith in Christ the same, the gospel was the same. Albeit it was much more fully revealed in the New Testament, as Christ was now manifest, and we shouldn't play that down, but essentially the same gospel. And so one doctrine of justification. One doctrine of justification. Romans chapter 4 and verse 22 to 24. Romans chapter 4, verse 22. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offences and was raised again for our justification. The same faith as Abraham exercised must be exercised by us. Abraham was justified by faith, faith in the promised Saviour. We must be justified by faith in the Saviour who has come and who was delivered for our offences and raised again for our justification. You should notice that whole chapter is working on the basis that there's only ever been one way of salvation. At the beginning, what shall we say then? That Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory. But not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And then in verse 6, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. So the way Abraham was justified, the way David was justified, is the way that sinners now can be justified through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. One people of God, finally, one people of God. Galatians 3 again. Galatians 3 and verse 9. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. The same blessing. That's even more explicit in verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The blessing of Abraham, the same blessing coming upon the Gentiles. And so in verse 29, and if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The promises given to Abraham and to his literal seed are fulfilled also in all those who are Christ's. The promise was fulfilled to Abraham. It was fulfilled to those of his literal seed who were born of the Spirit and who trusted in the Lord Jesus who is coming. And it's fulfilled to the Gentiles who believe on our Lord Jesus. The promise to you and to your children and to them that are afar off. Let us then be zealous for the honour of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must recognise that any idea that sinners were justified in some other way in the Old Testament than through the gospel of the coming Saviour, Jesus Christ. Any such doctrine is not merely a slip-up. It's not merely a minor detail. After all, we might say, what does it matter? Because, well, how sinners in the Old Testament were saved, how does that affect us? Well, it affects us very much. Because if sinners were justified in some other way in the Old Testament, it means that Christ and his redeeming work, his atonement, weren't really necessary. That if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. There is only one gospel and one way of salvation that is compatible with the character of God, and that is the gospel of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And we ought to love Christ enough to be troubled when it is suggested that sinners could ever have been saved some other way. It oughtn't to be a matter of indifference to us that someone should suggest, who professes Christ, should suggest that sinners were once saved aside from Christ. So let us be zealous for the honour of Christ. Not rash and foolish, but zealous for the honour of Christ. That he is not only the only Saviour there is, but he's the only Saviour that there ever was or ever shall be.